So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, and welcome back to another 30 minutes of Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom coming at you loud and clear, and this week I am going to talk to you about guns. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news about Trump, and none of it's anything really new. You got this whole wiretapping investigation, and Democrats throwing more allegations out, and it's kind of the same old thing, so... There, however, has been a lot in the news recently regarding the Second Amendment. So, George, do you have something that's fitting as an intro dealing with the Second Amendment?
I ain't shot the sheriff, but I did not shoot the deputy. I ain't shot the sheriff.
George, that's not really what I had in mind. I was thinking of something that possibly wasn't quite as violent and portrayed firearms in a better light.
If you have a problem that no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Well, I guess if anything portrayed firearms in a good light, the A-Team may have been it. They would fire, what, hundreds of rounds in each episode and nobody ever got killed or even injured? So yeah, I guess maybe that's that's a good example there. Now, the funny thing about the A-Team, it was rated at the time as the most violent show on television, yet its ratings slipped because it wasn't violent enough. And again, it was because they fired all these guns, all these blanks, and nobody ever got hit. Until the episode where they went back to Vietnam, and at the very end, Hannibal fired a rocket launcher at the bad guy. And that was the first actual casualty from the A-Team, and from there on out, people did get killed. That was when the show actually changed a little bit. So yeah, George, very, very clever. This week... There again, as I said, there's a lot of stuff in the news about firearms and everything just surrounding the Second Amendment. There's a lot of stuff out here, and I think I got enough to do an entire show. If I don't, there's plenty of stuff I can tap into to fill in at the end. But the fact of the matter is that Donald Trump is certainly the most firearms-friendly president that we have had since Ronald Reagan, and may even be more so than Ronald Reagan, because I think a lot of the firearms-friendly policies that Reagan had were due to his acting and portraying the American cowboy, the gunslinging cowboy, whereas Donald Trump is actually licensed to carry a handgun in the state of New York. And folks, if you don't live in the state of New York, that is extremely difficult to get. Now, obviously, someone like Donald Trump is going to be able to get that. But still, that shows the man is serious. He does carry. He's not just out there firing a shotgun. It's some skeet flying through the air and claiming that he's pro-hunting. This man believes in packing. And since he's been elected into office, a lot of states have come forth with legislation that are pretty much nullifying a permit to carry concealed. Now, here in North Carolina, where I reside, you need a permit to purchase a handgun, but not to carry it. So, in other words, when you get a pistol permit, it allows you to buy a handgun with that permit, and then you can carry it openly. It just must not be concealed. So it doesn't mean it has to be in plain sight, it just cannot be concealed. North Carolina has really good gun laws, but if you want to carry that weapon concealed, in other words, under the seat while you're driving, or in your pocket, or in a concealed holster, that sort of a thing, then you need to get a concealed carry permit. And a lot of states have this. Most states have this. However, a lot of states have realized that what the Constitution actually states is the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That means that you can carry however you want. Now, what would happen here in North Carolina if this law passes is that anyone could carry concealed. You could still get a concealed carry permit, and that would allow you to carry concealed in other states that share reciprocity with the state of North Carolina. And Utah is gearing up for some legislation. I'll get into that here in a second, but that's going to be the theme of today's show, folks. Talking about guns, the right to keep and bear arms, why it is so important, and just exactly what's going on, because we have an administration now that's tackling this like we have not seen in a long time. Of course, the ultimate goal would be to overturn the National Firearms Act of 1934, and we are actually starting to turn over some of the things that the NFA created, and I'll get into that as well. First of all, however, I want to read you an article from the Miami Herald. It's written by an obvious left-wing liberal anti-gunner, vehemently anti-gun, named Carl Hyacin. I think that's how it's pronounced. And it's called Bang Bang, You're Dead, and So Are You, and You, and dot, dot, dot. So this idiot starts out by saying, I'm going to read the whole article, and then I'm going to break it down for you here, folks. He says, Florida lawmakers convene this week in Tallahassee, an event traditionally kicked off by a barrage of wacko gun legislation. This year, some of it actually stands a chance of passing. Oh no. The worst by far is a bill filed in both the House and Senate that would eliminate all gun-free zones in the state. If passed, persons with concealed weapons permits would be able to carry firearms to pro sports events, bars, police stations, K-12 public schools, public colleges and universities, courthouses, polling places, government meetings, seaports, and airport passenger terminals. To single out just one of the many pathways to random bloodshed, Republican lawmakers seem determined to make handguns accessible wherever mass quantities of alcohol are being consumed. What would normally be a sloppy fistfight in the stands at a Dolphins game could literally be a .45 caliber shootout next season. And if you think campus cake parties aren't lively enough, throw in a couple of loaded Glocks into the mix. Polls show widespread opposition to abolishing gun-free zones, a view shared by college officials, business leaders, and many in law enforcement. But the politicians pushing for more firearms in public are serving a higher master. Dun, dun, dun. The NRA. Its unabashed darling in the Senate is a mild-mannered Dennis Baxley, who, fittingly, an undertaker by trade. His Ocala funeral parlor could see an uptick in business if guns are allowed in bars. On the House side, Speaker Richard Corcoran insists criminals and mass shooters are attracted to gun-free zones because they know civilians there won't be armed. Well, see that, folks, it's actually true. Lawmakers say the Pulse nightclub massacre in Orlando and the shooting at the Fort Lauderdale airport might have been prevented if the victims had been carrying weapons. Exactly. This Charles Bronson fantasy is avidly promoted by the NRA. It relies on the false premise that anyone with a concealed weapons permit is both calm enough and skilled enough to fire a handgun in crowded mayhem and actually hit the right person. Yeah, that's what the training is for, ya boob.
The airport mass shooting committed by an unhinged legal gun owner took less than 90 seconds. The victims, some on their way to meet a cruise ship, had just gotten off a Delta flight. Even if any of them had brought a weapon, it would have been packed inside their checked luggage, as was the shooter's semiotic Walther. The killing was over before many of the bags landed on the carousel. So much for the Bronson scenario. It took an army of cops to bring down the Pulse shooter, who was another licensed gun owner, yet we're supposed to believe he could have been taken out by a single armed club patron. Yes, he could have. Pointing a handgun and dimly lit clamor and fast-moving assailant firing an assault rifle.
Well, dude, let me explain something to you. When you properly train, you don't have to aim. It doesn't matter how low the light is. You shoot instinctively, and yes, you hit your target. This jerk goes on to say, NRA-backed lawmakers won key committee assignments in the new legislature, which means that several of this session's bad gun laws have a better-than-usual chance of passing. One such bill, opposed by prosecutors, makes it easier for shooters to claim a stand-your-ground defense. It resurfaces now as a retired Tampa police captain is on trial for fatally shooting a man during a confrontation in a movie theater. The victim was armed with a bag of popcorn and a cell phone. Even if the state's gun-free zones are abolished, companies and private business owners can't legally be required to allow customers with weapons on their property. Never fear, one GOP senator has a devious compliance tactic. Senator Greg Stube, I think it's Stoibe, Stube, sounds German anyway, good deal, of Bradenton, a favorite pet of the NRA, has filed a bill aimed to punish the many retailers, restaurants, nightclubs, theme parks, movie theaters, and other businesses that prohibit firearms. Among the big names potentially affected would be Disney, Costco, and Whole Foods. Stoiber's measure would allow anyone holding a concealed weapons permit to sue a gun-banning establishment if he or she gets shot or otherwise assaulted on the premises. The legal claim would be that they could have protected themselves had they been armed. Well, actually, folks, that is the law here in the state of North Carolina. It is a business's responsibility to protect you if they post that you cannot carry concealed or otherwise in their establishment. And when the bill was first passed here in North Carolina to allow you to carry anywhere, when the concealed weapons permits were first issued, there was a big anti-gun organization here in the state that went to all those businesses passing out these stickers to post that you could not carry in there. And the grassroots North Carolina, God bless them, dedicated many, many hours with a ton of volunteers to go to these businesses and explain to them that they were in fact culpable and liable if someone was injured by someone coming in because they could not defend themselves. And almost overnight, I'd say probably 90 to 95% of those stickers were removed. And you can now carry in places like grocery stores and fast food joints that formerly had prevented this. So yes, this is a very good thing. And the angle that this idiot was taking on this, I mean, it's ludicrous. It really is. There's nothing that could describe this as anything but a left-winger who doesn't understand. And let me just go back and explain here, because the other ones I kind of explained as I went through, but let me explain about this gun-free zones. I will read again. If passed, persons with concealed permits would be able to carry firearms to pro sports events, bars, police stations, K-12 public schools, public colleges and universities, courthouses, polling places, government meetings, seaports, and airport passenger terminals. Well, folks, we know that these so-called gun-free zones are the favored targets of people who want to do mass shootings, as are movie theaters and nightclubs. I mean, Virginia Tech, it was a public college or university. We've seen this happen. Sandy Hook, K-12 public school. Bars, and there was the Pulse nightclub. So we have seen this happen time and time again, and that's what these morons just don't understand and will never understand, because they have been programmed to think against guns. And when you try and have an intelligent conversation with them, they will either change the subject or start hurling insults, because there is no defense for the truth. Gotta take a quick break, folks. When I come back, I will continue this going to talk about firearms sound suppressors next. Back in a couple.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio.
Elmo's got a gun, Big Bird's on the run, Ernie's dialing 911, what made Elmo snap?
Okay, so right before the break, I said when I came back, I would be talking about firearms sound suppressors. But before I get into that, I want to touch bases on something that I did mention earlier, and that was about the bill in the state of Utah to allow people to carry concealed without a special permit. And this article here is from last week. So this is about a week and a half, 2 weeks old. So it's still fairly new news as far as firearms news. But there was a bill that they thought had been dead because the way it was voted on has now come back. And it contains some proposed legislation that gives greater protections for victims of domestic violence. The House approved HB, which stands for House Bill 237, on a 55-20 vote and sent it to the Senate. And last month, it appeared to die in a 5-5 tie vote in the committee. But a couple of members who actually supported the bill were absent that day, and they have helped to bring this back. Now, this bill has been sponsored by Representative Lee Perry, who's a Republican, and he wants to overcome a lot of the objections that Governor Gary Herbert voiced when he vetoed legislation in 2013, which would have allowed carrying concealed guns without a permit. Now, you see, Herbert argued that Utah's concealed carry permit system has worked well to protect the state with continuous daily background checks and a required firearm safety class, and he didn't want to undermine it. And he has said that he would veto similar proposals. So Perry came up with a little bit different bill here. And in addition to allowing concealed carry without a permit, it would ban people who have protective orders against them or who have been convicted of domestic violence from buying, owning, or carrying guns. Which not only is common sense, as far as the latter goes, that's federal law anyway. Now, he said his bill is about taking guns away from people who shouldn't have guns and allowing law-abiding citizens who can now carry openly, such as by wearing a holster, to legally carry concealed without a permit, so covering with a coat or in your pants pocket or whatever. And he said it's all about allowing law-abiding citizens to carry guns to promote peace, not violence. He also said that law-abiding residents use concealed guns to promote safety. And this is true because criminals prefer unarmed victims. I have said this before. Now, Representative Sandra Hollins, who is a Democrat from Salt Lake City, disagreed, obviously. She said, anyone who carries a concealed gun should have proper training that now comes with classes required for permits. Well, see, here's a newsflash, lady. You can openly carry right now without that training. What difference does it make whether you're carrying open or concealed? That argument has never made any sense to me. And Perry said that his bill would allow those threatened by domestic violence to buy and use concealed weapons quickly. And he says that during an earlier hearing, one by the name of Heather Woolsey said her ex-husband almost killed her and abused their 6 children. When he told her, or when she found out that he had been released from jail and that the cops had lost track of him, she said she went out and she bought a gun. And she broke the law because she carried it in a purse. Now, she later took a concealed carry permit class and applied for a permit last September, and she finally received her permit in the mail in February. But she says that other victims should not have to wait that amount of time to protect themselves. Now, Ann Bagley, who was a survivor of the 2007 Trolley Square mass shooting, representing an organization named Moms Demand Act, never heard of it, opposed the bill at the hearing. And she says HB 237 potentially allows dangerous people to easily carry concealed loaded weapons in our state and public places, such as Trolley Square. And it allows people who have not passed a background check or have proper safety training to carry loaded weapons around children and all of us. And once again, folks, this is that same ridiculous argument. People can do this legally already. They are just carrying them in the open. That is the only difference. So anytime you hear the same old argument about people carrying weapons around children and in public places, chances are that state already allows it legally. There are a few states where it must be carry concealed and you must take that course to do so. But many, many states such as Utah and North Carolina and Texas allow you to openly carry. Arizona, I believe, is another one. You can just carry that weapon anywhere it's legal to do so. And it's brought up. A lot of people have called it the cops over the years because they see somebody walking around with a gun. Well, there's nothing illegal about it. But these left-wing liberal whack jobs would have you believe that it is. And that's what they want you to continue to believe, that carrying a gun is illegal. And it is not, unless specifically legislated to be illegal, like in D.C. or Chicago or New York City or in California, places like that. You have the right to carry a gun. And folks, these people just cannot get it through their thick heads. We have the right to defend ourselves, and we have the right to defend ourselves from people like them who want to disarm us. All right, George, pull up that thing about the sound suppressors, because this is what I wanted to talk about. Do you have it? Okay. Oh, and while I'm thinking of it, George, where in the world did you find that bumper? Elmo's got a gun. YouTube. Why am I not surprised? Okay, folks, if you wanted to hear more of it as it was fading into the background, go to YouTube and look for Elmo's Got a Gun. I'm sure you can find it. So now that Trump has actually been elected to office, of course, as I said before, he's very, very pro-gun, congressional Republicans are trying to change the federal laws that deal with regulations on buying sound suppressors, commonly called silencers, which is not true. You cannot silence a gun. All you can do is suppress the sound somewhat. And to give you an example, with a suppressor on a 9mm, it still sounds like a 22 long rifle going off. It just quiets it down a little bit. But this is called the Hearing Protection Act, and it was introduced at the end of January. Now, 2 years ago, in 2015, the Hearing Protection Act was brought out, and it did not make it. But it has now apparently been brought back. And if it's passed, it would still require background checks to buy a silencer, sound suppressor, just like it would to buy a firearm. They would be treated the same way. The big difference is that buyers would no longer have to pay the $200 fee or wait for months after filing extensive paperwork with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. And this is rightfully so. Again, this goes back to the NFA, the National Firearms Act of 1934. Now, a lot of people are under the mistaken impression that it's illegal to own sound suppressors, or machine guns, or sawed-off shotguns, or short-barreled rifles. That's not true. You can file paperwork, if it's legal in your state, to get a federal license to do this, but you have to pay the $200 transfer tax, and it's a whole rigmarole. It puts you on a completely, you talk about a red list, folks. You're on that one. You're really on the Fed's red list. And it's It's all senseless. And of all of those things to own, a sound suppressor makes the most sense. When you're hunting, it certainly makes sense to reduce the sound of your rifle going off. If you're practicing in your backyard, or especially an indoor shooting range, it makes sense to reduce that sound. And there, believe it or not, are several countries in Europe who have extremely stringent firearms laws that actually allow, and in some cases I think maybe even require, sound suppressors when you go hunting. So this is a law that's, it's about time this has come out. It makes a lot of sense, and it is only reasonable that this would happen. Now, scrolling down through the article here, I see a similar measure failed in 2015, but supporters are optimistic this time, with Republican Donald Trump set Friday to officially become president. So this is an older article, but it's good. It's good news. It's really, really good news. And the NRA endorsed Donald Trump, and Trump's oldest son, Donald Trump Jr., who happens to be a hunter, recently appeared in a promotional video for the Utah-based Silencer.co. So this is good news, folks. He says, "I believe in American manufacturing, and I love your product." And he also argued that European countries freely allow the accessory and says it's a safety issue. The GOP lawmakers say this bill aims to cut through all the red tape of owning a suppressor and, if passed, would remove the accessory from the scope of the National Firearms Act. They also say it would replace the outdated federal application process with the instantaneous national instant criminal background check. And the bill calls for the refund of the $200 transfer tax for applicants who purchased a suppressor after October 22nd. Wow, so that's really, really good news, folks. I'm so glad to see this coming about. Now, all of this is on top of the fact that several states have passed legislation that overturns their own archaic laws that put severe restrictions on sound suppressors. And in some cases, many states made it pretty much almost illegal to own them. And Ohio and Iowa have both taken steps to overturn those state laws. So I'm running out of time here, folks. I'm going to leave off with DI and their number 09 rendition of Guns. Apparently, it was so popular, they did at least 9 different versions of it. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Till next week, my friends, it's been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.
Tell them the way, 'cause it's your right.